you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
This Ben Jarofsky Show, Benny J. Bonus Interview is brought to you in part by the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers, Local 126 and District 8, the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, Local 9, the International Union of Operating Engineers, Local 150, and the Chicago Federation of Labor. Benny J., take it away.
Bonus time in the Ben Jarofsky Show. It is Friday, November 15th, 2019. Lord knows when you're going to listen to this. It could be any time, because, D, it's a podcast, right? All right.
Wait, this is a podcast?
Podcast, man, you put it out in the universe, listen to it anytime. That's how podcasts work, Dennis. All right?
Correct.
All right, thank you, Robert Mueller. As we always do, I ask my distinguished guests to introduce themselves. So I'm going to start with this distinguished guest right here. Introduce yourself.
Hi, Ben. Jesse Weinberg. I am a Democratic strategist and consultant with K&I Communications, and I'm born and raised on the north side of Chicago, the lakefront. I had dreams of being in the movies, Ben, and so I moved to Los Angeles about a decade ago and had some great times, and actually met my wife, and she wanted to come check out the cold weather in Chicago, so we just moved back here.
Were you ever in a movie?
Oh, yeah, I did a couple movies.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, we're not going to talk about that today,
no.
but I love talking about movies. Maybe another time we'll
come
and talk about it. A distinguished guest, introduce yourself.
Yeah, my name's Paul Greinert. I'm a filmmaker, teacher. This film thing is, I guess there's a theme here, and I grew up on North Side.
All right, real quick question before we take the deep dive on why we're here. Greatest movie of 2019? We'll start with you, Paul. Just name your favorite movie of the year. Go.
That's not a good answer.
Yeah, we'll go to Jesse first.
We just watched the Deadwood movie.
Wow.
HBO.
Oh, it's a TV show.
It's a TV show they turned into a movie.
Okay.
Vince Gilligan's movie was amazing. Also a TV theme. They turned these television shows into feature-length
movies. So you don't go to movies in movie theaters?
Oh, sure. Love movies.
So name a movie in a movie theater.
Goodness.
Ben Jarofsky.
Welcome to the Ben Jarofsky Show.
Guys, we didn't prepare for this. All right, I'll answer the question for
what's
you.
What's your favorite?
Come on, guys. It's like a three-way battle right now between Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Dolomite, and Parasite. We all know that.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. That's my vote.
I was just about to say Parasite.
Right,
Parasite's my thing.
And tomorrow I'll see The Irishman and see what I say next week. But anyway, just you guys said movies and it just triggered.
There you go.
But we're not here to talk about movies.
No.
We're here to talk.
Mine's Joker.
Hey, I get to answer too, you know. Dr. D is very happy that he actually saw a movie this year.
He had some time.
The best one.
I haven't seen Joker yet, okay? I will let you know. But I was supposed to see it last week, but I didn't. Anyway, it's a long story. All right, so we got a lot of different votes here, but Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is, I guess, mine. All right, let's take the deep dive. We're not here to talk about movies. We're here to talk about Mitch McConnell.
Yeah.
And Ditch Mitch Chicago is the name of an organization that is, I guess it's a new organization. And before we take the deep dive into the details of what's at stake here, Jesse, just tell people about a Ditch Mitch event that's coming up, because I know a lot of people of our listeners are of the Ditch Mitch persuasion, and so they really want to attend this event, so talk about it.
Absolutely. This is a way to kick off the organizing season for 2020. And what we're doing is having a fundraiser, having an event with special drinks flavored toward Mitch and his colleagues at the Bottom Lounge on Wednesday night.
So the Bottom Lounge, what's the address? Do you have that?
1375 West Lake Street, right under the L-Trax. It's a music lounge. They got food there. And we're getting people together. We have some special drinks that we're doing.
The Moscow Mitch is one drink, and the Leningrad Lindsay. with a little graham cracker right next to it.
So we can see a theme that's emerging here, and that is that the Russian Governor Putin has an influence on the Republican Party in this
just
country. Mitch McConnell, of course, is the senator from Kentucky. He is the Senate Majority Leader we'll get into it.
And by the way, that's 6:30 on Wednesday. 6:30 to 8:30
at the Bottom Lounge.
And you're raising money for what?
For Mitch's opponent, whoever it may be, in the race for U.S. Senate out of Kentucky.
Yeah.
Because they kind of have one senator right now. The guy Mitch is not even there for them.
No, he's kind of absent. I mean, I think he's working for himself mostly.
I'm sure that the people in Kentucky will really appreciate the efforts that we're doing here in Chicago to get involved in their business. But it's an extremely important situation. So let's get into, first of all, why are you doing this? Jesse, we'll start with you, and then Paul, you pick up from there. Why is it so important that Mitch McConnell be defeated?
We are living in such factious times, as you know. There's divisiveness, there's hate, and people are frankly being turned away from the political process, which is not right, because the political process, politicians, belong to us, because we vote them in, we vote them out, they are beholden to us, and I am sick and tired of living in a country where people I love are being marginalized, brutalized, and left out of the process. Mm-hmm. When Mitch McConnell fucks with the Supreme Court like he did, mm-hmm. when Obama had a guy.
Merrick Garland.
Absolutely. You might get to try that drink on Wednesday night, by the way.
That's right.
There's going to be a Merrick Garland drink?
There's the Garland Gimlet.
The Garland Gimlet, okay. When Mitch McConnell buries that appointment, will not even allow it a hearing continue.
It affects people in real ways. Yeah. When you threaten a woman's ability to choose what she wants to do with her body, when you threaten people's love, who they can love, who they can't love, who they want to be with, when you affect people's families by ripping them apart, boxing children, it has real impact on people's lives. And so that's why I'm involved. That's why I'm here, is because I love my family. I love my wife. And I love people. I love people. And the people who are in power don't. Certainly not the Republicans, Donald Trump. And so I want to dive into the love and let everyone know that we get to be together, and in the togetherness, there's major power.
I'm going to make it about two hometown boys, you know, two homies, Garland and Obama, that this senator from Kentucky took on, you know. So he took on people from here. Mm-hmm. So I think we can answer back. I don't think we have to stay silent. You said that we're involving ourselves in the politics of the people of Kentucky, which I'm not trying to. But I think the senator from Kentucky took us on when he did that. He also, as Jesse was saying, took on a huge swath of the people of the United States when he did that. So it is about answering back. Okay. So this is our chance.
I would say, by the way, I was being a little facetious when I said the good people of Kentucky be upset, because I find this interesting. And this is 101 of how conservatives fight Democrats. So when a conservative senator or congressman is running for re-election, and there's opposition that's coming in from out of the district or out of the state, the central conceit is to talk about outside agitators coming in and trying to tell people in the district or in the state how to run their business. And that is just 101 of what Republicans do to try to sort of play on the anger and resentment that their constituents may have for people of a different political persuasion. They do not have the same attitude, I'd like to point out, when Donald John Trump flies into their state and holds a massive rally and goes, I want you to vote for that one. And they don't, he barely even knows their names. You know what I mean? He doesn't know where they are. One time he screwed it up. I think he was in Kentucky and he said he was in Alabama. So it doesn't even matter. You know what I'm saying?
That's
so
right.
It's another example, in my humble opinion, not to put words in your mouth, Jesse, but it's another example of utter hypocrisy of the Republican Party. They're outraged when some liberal in Chicago wants to get involved because that liberal cannot stand the politics of Mitch McConnell. But, oh, hey, Donnie, come into my state. And, you know.
That's right. Well, one of the things that we, you know, I know a few people in Kentucky, and absolutely, we trust people in Kentucky to make the decision for themselves. We're not backing a candidate. We're backing the candidate, whoever the heck it is, because we know Kentucky's going to handle their business. And that is a state that I know very little about the political landscape. Mm-hmm. But there are enough people in Chicago that want to come together, have some fun, be communal, try the Moscow Mitch. It's fun to say, right? Just imagine.
The London Gremlin.
There you go. A little graham cracker on the side.
See, yeah. Graham.
Yeah.
The Leningrad. Is there even a city in Russia called Leningrad anymore? I don't think so. Isn't it? It was Stalingrad. Oh, here's my utter.
It's St. Petersburg.
Yeah. Right, a failure of geography. Really.
St. Petersburg.
It's just blowing this one live.
Okay.
I can't remember if there's still a Leningrad in Russia.
They want to take us back to the Dark Ages, but. You know,
Absolutely.
So we want to get people together. I mean, that's really the goal, is to have some fun. And as it relates to Kentucky, we are not, you know, we support them. We support people. And I know there are people in Kentucky who do not like Mitch McConnell. 32% approval rating, right? He had
32%, did you say, in Kentucky?
Absolutely.
Wow.
He has this air of invincibility, which, frankly, from this most recent governor race, which Donald J. Trump flew in, right, has been punctured. He is beatable. Mitch is. And so we in Chicago want to come together and support their efforts.
Absolutely. You know what? My question is, you know, how many tens of millions of dollars have the Republicans raised using Speaker Pelosi as their, I don't know, what is
punching
it?
Bag.
Punching bag. Punching bag. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the boogie person, right? You know, and they do it. They do it really well. And what I think that does is it changes the conversation from only about presidential politics. It pushes things down ballot, right? When you're talking about the speaker, this is a way to do that. It's to start talking about, it's not only about the presidency, folks. We got to take back the Senate. We have to keep the House. Without these institutions in the hands of people that I consider patriots, we're heading towards disaster.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we're heading towards.
All right, let's take a little deeper dive into that point that you just made. And by the way, you're absolutely correct. The Republicans were using Nancy Pelosi as a punching bag, and I didn't hear anybody sobbing from Northern California about, you're making fun of my congresswoman.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So come on, Republicans, got to be of sterner your stuff, all right? So explain, Paul, and go take a little deeper dive on why it is so important for Democrats to take control of the Senate, or at least not have Mitch McConnell running the Senate.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, you know, there's so many, you know, but I think I would start with, judicial appointments, right? I mean, we are judicial appointments to the federal court system are for life. At this point, I think we have just went over the 50% mark in terms of Republican appointees now. They're in control.
Hey, time out. I missed this.
I believe so.
Isn't benchmark. So in other words, you're saying 50% of the federal judges that are now ruling and reigning in the land have been appointed by Republican presidents?
Yeah, I believe we've just...
I see. Okay.
It was today was the one that tipped over the balance.
Oh, I did not know. It happened while I was on the air.
It's very fresh, very fresh.
And I may be wrong, but I think so, right? And or if not, we're really close to that.
Yeah.
And what that means is a lifetime I'm not kidding. So with, you know, I'm not. I have some grays, right? A little bit of gray.
Yeah.
Jesse here.
I got a couple too.
He has a little less, but you know, but that means I will not see a judiciary ruling in a way that I think is just for the majority of the people mm-hmm. of the United States in my lifetime. And so we need to lock down the Senate and start changing that, you know, and the Supreme Court. Ruth Bader Ginsburg is not going to live forever. Mm-hmm. She's one tough lady, but she is not going to live forever. And so we need to maintain that.
And how about one of the jurors who's going to be presiding over these impeachment hearings, the case when it comes to the Senate?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This guy's leading the charge. And you know, for me, the Ditch Mitch Fund, one of their taglines is, and it is a grassroots movement, is that Washington is broken and Mitch broke it.
I hadn't heard that.
It's fairly accurate.
It's pretty funny.
It works for me. I mean, you know, I don't see how Mitch McConnell's doing the will of the people. Mm-hmm. You know, I know there are people in Kentucky who have hesitation about voting against him because of how much power. This is what Mitch says. He has so much power. I'm your number one guy. The thing is that he's absent. They really do have one senator because he is never there, and he's not working on behalf of Kentuckians.
Mm-hmm.
Spoken as a Chicagoan.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah.
But we need to... the American people need to get their voice heard again in Washington, and Mitch is blocking us all the time.
All right. Now, what makes you think that Mitch McConnell, who seems impervious and all-powerful, and he certainly acts that way, what makes you think he's vulnerable to a challenge?
Well, there was this really important race in Kentucky for the governorship, and for the first time in many years, it went to a Democrat. They voted for a Democrat. And granted, Bevin was not a...
Matt Bevin, the incumbent Republican.
That's right. He wasn't a popular candidate. He had about the same popularity level as Mitch does. But
which Trump, is good news.
That is good news. And Trump came to town and tried to bump up his support. And
didn't work.
It did not work.
When Trump shows up, it doesn't work.
That's right. And so Kentuckians said no. And they voted for this new guy, Beshear. And so that's super exciting. You look at how people want politicians to be straight with them.
Yeah.
They do. They want people to be real. And authenticity goes a long way.
I think you wrote about that last week, right? Or this week, about Democrats being true to a message, right? Saying what it is that they stand for and then really standing for it, right? Following through with policies, not being afraid to, you know, lose an election in order to move policy forward. Mm-hmm. We need to move policy forward, and then we need to be really clear about what those policies are that we're standing for. And I think there are some candidates in Kentucky that are like that.
Absolutely, and people are hurting. I mean, Kentucky's a really interesting, you know, one of my colleagues actually is from Kentucky, and he lived there for a long time, and, you know, he was talking about how Kentucky almost could be 6 or 7 separate states, given the different industries, the agriculture, the coal mining. And so there is a wide swath of difference in the electorate in Kentucky. What's fascinating is that people really can be unified if they can respond to something that's human. And one of the things that Trump has emboldened, he certainly didn't invent it, right? But he has emboldened and empowered people to be hateful and divide us. So when we find ways to connect in a human way through the things that are most important to us, this is what moves us to action. It moves us to vote. It moves us to vote for people that also champion the love that we feel.
Paul, you referred, you were talking about something I wrote and getting at the notion that there is, I don't know if ideology is the right word, but positions anyway, that Democrats could champion, values, if you will, that they could champion and that would win over voters in states that are run by Republican senators. And it's something we talk about a lot on this show, something I think about a lot, and I'm always trying to figure out what it is that could get a voter in, and it's not just Kentucky, but Kentucky, Michigan, Wisconsin, what have you, Illinois, for that matter, to vote Democrat, even though this voter has voted Republican in the past. So what do you think are some of those issues that could move voters to the Democratic side?
You know what? I think I'm not, I don't know if I focus like you on the Republican voter. You know who I focus on? I focus on the person who stays home. I think that's the person that we should focus on. And that's the majority of voters. It's really sad, right? We're talking about the majority of the people around us. They will stay home. And I think that comes from a sense that they can't do anything, that nothing will ever change, that no one will ever serve them. And by standing up for things like, I know it's gonna sound ridiculous, but healthcare, okay, like making sure that we all have lives and they're long and we can actually execute them because we're not bedridden. That is going to get people out there. But we really have to stand for that and strongly and unequivocally. Did I say that right? It's kind of, sort of.
Yeah, it's a kind of, sort of word.
It's a kind of,
it's always a dangerous one when you go there. Yeah. But I get what you're saying. Yeah. I'm not even going to try to say it.
Thank you. There we go. Just let me hang here with that. But anyways, by standing up for it, right? And standing for it. And being really clear, it's going to cost us money. Yeah, you know, it is going to cost us money to do that. Is it going to cost us as much money to do that as what we're paying now? No, that's what's amazing. We're already paying more money into a healthcare system that life expectancy is going down. So literally more money, fewer worse results. Mm-hmm. How is that sustainable? That is unsustainable. So any kind of proposition where we say, no, you know what we're going to do? We're going to make sure that prices go down and the results are better. That's what we stand for. That's unmovable. That's what we're going to do. We're going to find the solution to that.
There's a super clear line of delineation to me, which is that you either have your interests met, you are seen in the process, or you're not. And if you're seen in the process, you want to get involved. For me, when I think my vote matters, when I think that my voice, and however interested in politics or not I may be, I mean, this goes to your question of how do you get voters to vote Democrat?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have to talk to them and listen to what's important to them. This is how people get interested in things. And there is a massive push to have less and less people vote in America. Stacey Abrams had this unbelievable race in Georgia, right, where mm-hmm. she got super close and frankly probably won, but it was stolen from her. I mean, that's what I would argue. When you got the guy running against her, was the Secretary of State and running the whole election.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, right?
Yeah.
So she spends her time now focusing on fair voting, because when more people vote, the people's voice gets heard. So I don't think Donald Trump wants people's voices heard. I don't think anyone in his White House does. I honestly believe Donald Trump's in for himself, period.
I don't think Mitch McConnell wants
He does not want people to vote. Mitch does not.
Well, he wants the people who are going to vote his way to vote. He doesn't want people who would vote against him to vote.
And these are people who, you know, there are, to Paul's point, there are a lot of people that just don't vote. And why not? I'm interested in those conversations.
Let me ask you this. Yeah. Have you always voted?
I have. So the first time I voted actually was absentee in 1996. I had just started college. And so it was the first time I just turned 18. Mm-hmm. And I missed it. I mailed it in late. So I didn't even get to vote for
96.
Clinton. Yeah, yeah, 96.
You could have voted for Clinton versus, for 10 trivia points, Paul. Who was he running against?
I don't know. Oh, I'm sorry. God, no, 10.0. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Do you remember?
Bob Dole.
Very good, man. All right. Ding, ding, ding. Here's the 10 trivia points. Yes, indeed. Bob Dole was the candidate. Yeah. And I'm not going to ask you who Bob Dole's running mate was, so we'll leave you off.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. Not a real question.
I actually know who his running mate was. Jack Kemp.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Man, the stuff that resides in my brain. Anyway, it's a scary thing.
I was scared you were going to ask me if I've always voted. That was my next question. Yeah, that's why I was. That's why I missed that one. You know, I went through my anarchist phase.
When was that? When was your
last week?
That was still going on. Fast.
That one went fast.
It lasted 53. I don't know. And, you know, in college and stuff. And I thought it was snarky, you know. It was a snarky move to stay out. You know, it was going to be. I was going to show the man, you know, that
by not voting,
right? Because you know, if you're voting, you're part of the system, right? And so, you know, that was that. That's you know, there's some anti-establishment ideology that's like that, right? That you stay out of the process, mm-hmm. and that somehow that washes you clean of responsibility. And then, of course, as I became older, and frankly, as I became more aware of my privilege as a white guy living in this society, right? That my ability to just sort of walk away from it and go I don't have to, you know. I was just, you know, dripping in privilege.
Was this your 80s? I'm assuming just by looking at you that you're an 80s guy. Do I have that correct?
That's about right.
And you're a 90s guy, and I'm a 70s guy. Larry, we got that clear. So you were going through a phase in the 80s with the Reagan years where you said, I'm above this all.
That's right.
Do you remember when you emerged from that phase?
I mean, you know, Reagan really turned me off. I mean, I have to say, you know, he was, you know, I mean, the message of you got to get rich, you know, and, you know, screw the other guy really turned me off to politics. So I understand people that are turned off to politics because of that sort of antisocial messaging, right, from a politician. It turns you off to the whole thing. But I think, I got back somewhere in the 2000, you know, the 90s, 2000, started to rethink my connections to society.
Well, this has been on my mind the last couple of days, and Dennis knows where I'm going to go with this because I've been talking obsessively about this. But what the heck? I got two movie guys in the studio. Let's continue this. I know. So the other day, I went and saw on the big screen for the first time since 1974 or 5. So you guys weren't even born yet, or you were. You're in the cradle. Godfather 2. Mm-hmm. And Godfather 2, I cannot recommend it enough to people, is so relevant on so many levels, but one of which is to expose the hypocrisy of our political system. Yeah. And as they presents it in the movie, the senators, the people, this is just one element of the corruption that's exposed in that movie.
Right.
They're absolutely controlled, the senators, by powerful interests, be it the mob or another faction of the mob. It's basically the mob that controls them. And nothing is real. Nothing that anybody says is real. It's all a bunch of BS and artifice. And so much of what we try to do in this show is cut through the BS and try to get at what's really the issues are that people have to face. We try to do that with a little humor, but we're really trying to, hey, guys, this is what they're really talking about, and this is how it impacts you. And my sense is it was reinforced by that movie, Paul and Jesse, because I came away feeling that part of Donald Trump's success is that so many Americans buy into the theme of The Godfather 2, that nothing is real, it's all BS, they're all controlled by forces larger than themselves, they're lying through their teeth, and by this, they, in that sense, are the elected officials. Yeah. They don't tell you the truth about whose interests they really serve, and they give you platitudes, which you know is BS, because you've been around the block once or twice. Right. So what is the point of voting? And so I throw that at you, looking for hope, Jesse. Yeah. No pressure or anything.
Yeah,
but,
sure. Well, it's such an interesting question, the idea of hope. And, you know, I think it's really important to, you know, you asked both of us if we've always voted. I don't think there's any shame in going through, as Paul calls his phase, an anarchist or anti-establishment phase, right? There's no shame in whatever journey we're on. And the point is how, I mean, as you know, as white guys in America, how do I enable people who don't have as much access, as much opportunity, and how do I keep my voice a little more silent and build other people up? Mm-hmm. And so one of the ways I get to do that is by listening to people and having conversations, asking questions truly about what's meaningful to people. And so I got to go seek them out and find it. And I think that there is such an obviously extreme polarization in our country right now when it comes to politics. I had a guy come over this morning to put a new humidifier in our HVAC system because it broke, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, making small talk with the guy. And one question I asked him, I'm like, because the impeachment hearing was on, and I'm like, oh, is you've been watching this thing this morning? And he's like, oh, no, basically fuck politics. I don't care. And then he goes on a little further. All I did was keep my mouth shut. Mm-hmm. He goes on a little further and he says, well, you know, I mean, not everything they say about Donald Trump is wrong. I mean, a lot, some of it's right, but I mean, he's not that, you know, he should stop tweeting. He should stop being on Twitter. Some of the stuff. So it's like this polarization of apologizing for Trump's rhetoric, apologizing for, and also feeling so hesitant to be in the process, hesitant to be in the conversation because of the polarization. I think the antidote is connection. I really do. Is connecting to what's deeply meaningful to us. And in terms of, you know, another observation that comes up about, you know, about Trump and about,
I think, you know what, just to jump off of that, you know, Trump does connect with people. I mean, you and I may not like it. Right. You know what I mean? You and I, I don't know about you, Ben, but.
yeah. Big Trump supporter over here. Yeah.
But you know, so us sitting in this room, we may not like the way he connects with people, right? And we may say, gee, that's wrong. But he understands the people that elected him on an intuitive level. He is truly, you know, a master at both listening to them, knowing what it is that they want to hear, and then delivering that exact statement that they really will respond to. And, you know, yeah, do I think misogyny works in a society? No, I don't like it. Do I think racism is the way to go? No, I don't like it. Xenophobia, not so much. you know, I can go down the list, right? You know, giving money away to rich people, you know, no, I don't think that is a just society. But he does it really skillfully, and he repeats, and he's on a repeat, right? And it's sharp, and it's quick, and it's quotable, and he's always on message, right? And Republicans always on message, always on message, and so Democrats, I think, really need to do that same thing. You know, one thing though, I will say this. You know, when something good comes to people from our government, they forget it instantly. It is gone, right? When something bad happens, they remember it forever, and that is something that I think that,
give me an example of that.
Oh man. Well, I think, you know, I think it's human nature to remember the mistakes more than the successes, you know. And people will remember that, oh my God, my property taxes went up, and I, you know, I can't believe it. They will forget that they bought the house at, you know, at a much lower price than they're living in it now, and that's why your property taxes kind of went up. And so they forget the services they get for those taxes.
Well, I'll phrase it a little differently, because I feel that once people get something from government, they want it forever. They don't want to lose it. So that's what Social Security, can't get rid of it. And the fight against Obamacare, aside from the fact that it was Obama who delivered it, and Republicans really hate him for doing that, they don't want to give him credit for anything, is what makes it so difficult for the Republicans is that a service has been given to people, and now the Republicans' attitude toward it is, we're going to take it away from you. And I think it dawned collectively on the, it took a while, but it collectively dawned on American voters in about 2018 that the Republicans are taking away something from us without giving us anything in return. And and the Democrats, as a result, were able to take back the House. Now we have all these centrists saying, oh, we learned this lesson. We talk about health care. Don't talk about,
immigration.
Immigration. Yeah. Don't talk about free college. Just talk about health care. And don't even promise Medicare for all. Just talk about keeping Obamacare. Like they fit the Democrats' very cautious, safe message. So I believe people want what government gives them, but they've been sort of taught to think that it will work against them. And in terms of your, in all due respect to the guy who installed your air conditioning system or fixed it, Jesse, I'll have this to say. I love it when Republicans, they start defending Trump and they go, well, I don't like some of that tweeting. Boy, you love the tweet.
You love it. Yeah. You love it. You're just saying that because you're in my house. But here's the thing.
You're saying it because it's the politically correct.
That's right.
The thing to say. Well, of course, I'm not for the tweeting. Yeah. But it's like, you guys get off. It's like tweeting porn.
And here's the follow-up to this fella is that when I start talking to him a little further and don't put Trump or tweeting at the front of the conversation, I realize I learned that he's got a 10-month-old baby. He's, he's the one that eats all the French fries when his wife had the pregnant cravings, right?
Yeah.
And he's like not accepting a cookie from us or anything from us because he's trying to, eat better or whatever, right? I start to learn about him as a human being, and I see him as a human being. And when we start diving into our own humanity more, then we get to connect and move around this divisiveness. And we get to actually build bridges together once again, which is the way to combat hate.
All right, my advice to you with that air conditioning guy is don't give him a cookie, give him a carrot, okay? You're eating too many cookies. Right. Get a little chubby there.
Yeah.
Carrot, not cookie. All right, one more time, give folks the who, what, and where. Everybody out there, if you want to take a stand against Mitch McConnell, I know a lot of you do, even if it's just a symbolic one.
Come on, it's going to be fun. We're all getting together.
It's a free event.
Free event.
Free?
Wait,
hold on. F-R-E-E?
Right.
Free? Dennis, doesn't that mean you don't have to pay?
Isn't that what free means? Even Dennis knows this. No, Dennis knows a lot.
Could
you look that up for me? I just want to make sure I got this straight. Free? F-R-E? Tell me it was free.
Right?
Yeah. Come on in. Bottom lounge, you get to have a Moscow Mitch, a Leningrad Lindsay.
If it's free, how are you going to get money?
To enter, we ask you for money when you're there. You get the opportunity. It's going to be a cash bar.
We give you the opportunity.
That's right.
To join us.
We
want you there. This is much more about creating that energy and about creating that community and talking to each other about what we want
and
to
being
happen
together.
And being together and what we want to have happen in the upcoming season.
All right, stand up as Chicagoans.
Absolutely.
I learned this from Dennis to do this. All right. So when is the day?
It's Wednesday, November 20th, 6:30 to 8:30 this Wednesday at the Bottom Lounge. 1375 West Lake Street.
I'm sorry, I misheard that. What was the name of the place again?
The Bottom Lounge.
And what's the address again?
1375 West Lake Street.
And what was the day again?
Wednesday.
November
20th.
We're Ben's Monkeys. We're Ben's Monkeys. That's what we do. Yeah.
One more time.
I'm so proud of you right now,
man. I've learned a thing or two from this guy. He knows how to do that really a lot better than I do. But anyway,
come join us.
I urge everybody to show up and buy yourself
a
Mitch.
Can't wait to see
a Moscow Mitch.
Mitch.
And send some money. Raise some money. Just feel, like Mitch McConnell's been giving you Democrats and Chicagoans the two middle finger high. Boom, 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 boom.
For years.
Right. So give it to him back.
Let's give it to him back.
All right. And I expect to see that air conditioning guy there. Plenty of carrots.
That's right. Carrots for all. Even some celery. Here we go.
All right.
Before we go, can I let them hear my Mitch McConnell impression?
Yes.
All right. Please. Cool, cool. Not, there's no words. It's just a noise, really. Here we go. Roll schmarshmall.
Moscow Mitch. I love his Mitch McConnell imitation. What a character, Mitch McConnell, folks. A diabolically evil genius at the heart of the Republican Party. He controls. By the way, let me ask you this. Yeah. I'll throw out our Mitch. Question. All right, now here we go. Here's the Mitch question. All right, now don't duck and dodge it. Okay. Oh, I'm so nervous. The tension is building. All right. So Mitch is swearing allegiance to Donald John Trump on this impeachment, right? Do you think it's possible? Do you think it's in any way possible that Mitch McConnell might figure it's his best interest to throw old Donald under a bus and have some senators vote to impeach him? Jesse.
No.
Okay.
Okay. I don't. I think they're all in on Trump, and they have been from the, what, like June or May of 2016?
Yeah.
As soon as he started with that racist shit, and it's been nonstop down the tracks since.
No.
Okay.
You know, Republicans tell the truth. They do. They say they want to, quote unquote, limit the power of the federal government. I don't know if any president has done that more successfully than this particular Republican president. He has decimated the federal government.
Well, I would, you know? I would disagree with you. I think there's more power in the presidency now than ever before. He gives his middle finger to congressional subpoenas, to the courts.
You mean democratic institutions?
Yes. It's Democrats in Congress that are subpoenaing him, but essentially he's saying he's above the law and does not have to respond to them. When lower courts rule against him, he says, "Ah, doesn't matter. I control the Supremes. I'm going to win ultimately there." When anybody criticizes him, he flies into their state, denounces them, and gets a crowd to cheer. So I think he's got more power than I'm trying to think of any president that went before him.
Yeah, but it's cynical power, right? This is exactly what you were talking about Godfather II. It's the power that will prove the point that government doesn't work for you. Mm. And this is, of course, the power that they have. They don't have to prove that government works. They keep telling you it doesn't work, it doesn't work. Then they make it not work, and guess what? They just proved that it doesn't work for you, and then it's just a little thing. Democrats have this much more difficult project, right? We have the project of going, hey, government works for you, and then we have to actually make government work for you, which is a way you can make, by the way, in this one, in the one where you have to make the, yeah, I'm showing things on the... on the right side. No, you know what? When Democrats can make mistakes. You know, I heard somebody somewhere say, you know, when you're burning down the house, it doesn't really matter where you throw the match, right? It really does not matter at that point what you're doing. There's no plan. You're just going to burn it down. And that's what I'm saying. You know, they keep telling us they're you know, this is what we want. And this is what I'm saying, that Mitch McConnell, you know, this Republican president is doing exactly that. He is following through with a plan. That plan has been in place since Reagan, really. And they've been executing that.
All right, so you want to join the chorus. Ditch Mitch Chicago, November 20th, 6:30, Bottom Lounge.
Yeah.
Be there or be square.
Can't wait to see you there.
Can't wait to see you all there.
Thank you, gentlemen. This has been another bonus show on The Ben Jarofsky Show. Take care, everybody.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.